Pastor Francis Chan writes, "We need to err on the side of action because we tend to default to negligence." Today, and for the next several weeks, we are going to take a look at the book of James, a book in the Bible which Martin Luther described as a right strawy epistle, for it has no gospel in it. Of course, Luther was a little biased. He had just proclaimed a doctrine of grace through faith. And James's words in chapter 2, which we'll get to, I think, next week, seem to be in direct contradiction to this. However, I do assure you that the gospel is found in James's letter. However, more than anything else, this is a letter about discipleship. And grace is found through its depictions of Christian living. Our passage this morning grounds pastoral care and its human responsibility within the divine initiative. In that context, the gospel is found in abundance. Furthermore, James is all about the practical applications of ministry. So let's work our way through this passage from James's letter together. And let's see what we can discover. Our section from James today begins with a wonderful reminder that every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights. Every week, we paraphrase this passage in the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God is the giver and architect of life. Through his abundance, God gives to us graciously and freely. However, I wonder if our passage, by opening in this way, does it, and the attitude it may convey, put us in a position where we count our blessings? Do we name them one by one? And in the counting of our blessings, do we observe that perhaps we should be owed more blessings? Because life is hard sometimes. That our life might be more complete if only we had received more from God. Harry Emerson Fosdick once observed that in his experience, those who reflect upon their lives and conclude that they had received far less than they deserve tend to be among those from whom no great living comes. Is this life really about the things that we receive? How often do we talk about the things which we have the ability to give? Brings up that old question. Is it better to give or to receive? If giving is the answer, who thinks it's giving? And who thinks it's receiving? If giving is the answer, why do we count our blessings? James moves forward from here to begin speaking about doing, about giving. And he starts this section by talking about anger. And it's interesting to note that James does not advise us not to be angry, at least not outright. Instead, he says, be slow to anger. I suppose that's a little bit like a kettle, which is rising to the boiling point. But we need to hold off on our judgment until we are aware of the whole situation, to not be impatient with ourselves and with others. I suppose it takes discipline to respond this way, when quick, white-hot anger is perhaps our preferred response. And let's be honest. The society and culture of which we are a part prefers to respond with flashes of white-hot anger. This letter which James has written is not meant to be an easy one. It's full of tough love. James addresses the deception of passive faith, when we believe we are just to receive. James provides wise counsel when he writes, "Do not deceive yourselves by listening to his word, but instead put it into practice." James reminds us that we are called to action. Consider this story of a man who is cutting his lawn. It's a scorching hot Saturday afternoon, not unlike some of the days we've had this summer. And this man, he had a lot of lawn, and he did not have a ride-along tractor. Perspiring, he thought, how good would a tall glass of lemonade taste? So he went inside. He turned on the air conditioning. He poured himself an oversized glass. And he settled into a big, easy chair. He decided to look up the word weed in the dictionary and found the following: any plant growing where it was not wanted. He went back outside, surveyed the lawn, and decided that every blade stood exactly where he wanted it. He had rationalized away doing. Friends, it is far easier today for people to hit the like button on Facebook, to wear a badge that associates them with a cause, to sign a petition. It's far easier to do these things than it is to actually go and do something concrete. And these are somewhat concrete actions, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Sometimes, simply because something is trendy and popular, we believe that it is right and true. However often an issue or cause is neither of these things. And when it is, the question becomes, so what? So what are you going to do about it? What good does joining another 1,000 people and hitting the like button accomplish? The following quote's attributed to Mark Twain: whenever you find yourselves on the side of the majority, it is time to pause and reflect. Twain, or whoever the author of the quote is, was speaking more about thinking for yourself. However, today as Christians, we could reinterpret this quote as being about taking our thinking to the next step. How do we take our reflections to the next stage? How do we take concrete action? James, in his letter, says, put it into practice. He concludes our passage this morning by reminding us what God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering, and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. We don't think much in the language of orphans and widows anymore, or at least we don't phrase it that way. It's a commandment from the Old Testament. And often you will also find the alien who lives among you as a third clause, which is your neighbor. But it is interesting to note that the foundation to help the families of deceased firefighters and police officers in many cities is called the Orphan and Widows Fund. And if you watch crime movies, it's always the Orphan and Widows Fund that's been stolen from, which is why there's moral outrage that the bad guys have done this, because it goes back to the Old Testament. So there you go. In your crime movies, there's some gospel in them. What James is suggesting is clear. We need to be out. We need to be visible in the world. And that is something that the session and this congregation has made clear. We need to be out in our community. We need to be doing God's work. Our faith should compel us to action. Consider the following parable that Soren Kierkegaard told when writing to a Denmark that was filled with Christian people who didn't act very Christian. Once upon a time, there was a land inhabited only by ducks. Every Sunday morning, the ducks got up. They washed their faces, put on their Sunday clothes, and waddled off to church. They waddled through the door of their duck church, proceeded down the aisle, and took their familiar places in the pews. The duck minister, I suppose that's me, entered the pulpit and opened the duck Bible to the place where it talked about God's greatest gift to ducks: wings. With wings, we can fly. With wings, we can soar like eagles. With wings, we can escape the confines of pens and cages. With wings, we can become free. With wings, we can become all God meant us to be. So give thanks to God for your wings and fly. And all the ducks loudly quacked, "Amen." And then all of the ducks waddled back home. Our passage began with a reminder of where generosity comes from. That every good and perfect gift is from God. We realize that generosity is grounded in the character of God. If that is true, then mission is grounded in the character of Jesus Christ. James reminds us that in Jesus Christ, we are called to a higher standard than the society in which we live. We are called to take part in the world around us. Friends, I don't want you to sit here and to listen to my words, to hear scripture, and then to go home unchanged and unmoved. My desire, God's desire for you, is to do what is written in scripture, to follow and to live out the teaching of Jesus, to love one another and your neighbors. To end as I began, we need to take action because we live in a world which tends towards apathy. And God wants more from us than that. God deserves more than that from us. So give thanks for your blessings in which you have received. And remember that God has empowered you to be a blessing. Amen.